Thank you all for being there. I want to say a few words first and tell you about my long experience as a Minister of Environment in France. It's not the subject of today, but I have to tell you some things. First, I wanted to say to you that I had many occasions to work with Sven Auken, and it was with a lot of friendship and a lot of respect. We worked very hard in Kyoto, and it was also with Angela Merkel, and by this time she was anti-nuclear, I remember. She was considered as anti-nuclear. And a few years later, when I decided to resign, I asked some partners to look at my work, to criticize my work. And of course, most of them didn't dare to say many things bad or wrong. And Sven Auken said, oh, she's a very good woman. She has worked very hard, but her English is miserable. And so you'll judge by yourselves. Secondly, I want to tell you about my work as a French minister in a large coalition of leftist parties, all in favor of nuclear power, but the Greens. Socialists, communists, two of the little left parties, all pro-nuclear, but the Greens, all proud of the French singularity, but the Greens, and it has been possible to do things, to decide things in this field. To decide not to build any new nuclear plant, to decide to stop the project of EPR, to stop Superphénix, and I'm particularly proud of two other decisions. First, I gained the support of the Prime Minister to take position in the European debate against any nuclear in the clean development mechanism of mechanisms of Kyoto, because it was not really serious to suggest that 2 billion people who have no money at all, no state at all, no electricity net at all, could use nuclear. And secondly, at the agreement of the government with a very important protocol concerning radioactivity in the OSPAR treaty. And the decision was to say, okay, France agrees with the idea that you should have no liquid radioactive emissions in the sea by year 2020. And it was important for us because it has touched the interests of the heart of a nuclear industry in France, the holiest of the holy, La Hague. And so it has been rather hard. The anti-nuclear movement in France is convinced that I was not strong enough, and I agree with this, but even as a weak green minister in a large coalition, I could do some things, and it's not so disparate, the situation in France. So, I have to speak of Euratom Treaty now. As of the middle of the 50s, hopes for the broad spread use of nuclear energy in the world were very high. On 8 December 1953, General Dwight Eisenhower delivers his Atoms for Peace speech. In 1955, thousands of scientists met in Geneva for one of the largest science conferences of all times, under the title Peaceful Uses of Nuclear Energy. 1957, the Euratom Treaty was signed. Nina remembered us that two of the founding treaties of the European Community were dedicated to the strategic issue of energy. the enthusiasm was huge for the potential benefits of nuclear power. And the 2025 articles were preceded by the following considerants. Recognizing that nuclear energy represents an essential resource for the development and invigoration of industry and will permit the advancement of the cause of peace. Resolve to create the conditions necessary for the development of a powerful nuclear industry, which will provide extensive energy resources, led to the modernization of technical processes and contribute to the prosperity of our peoples. Article 1 of the treaty stated that the member states would commit themselves in creating the conditions necessary for the speedy establishment and growth of nuclear industries. The treaty was signed by the 6 founding members of the European Community: Italy, France, Belgium, Germany, the Federal Republic of Germany, Netherlands and Luxembourg. All but Luxembourg started with nuclear power programs. 50 years later, the European Union has nothing in common with the European Community of the 50s. 25 member states, of which 13 operate between 1 and 59 nuclear reactors. Of these 13 nuclear member states, 2 have passed nuclear phase-out legislation, Germany and Belgium. 1 pursues an active phase-out policy, Sweden. 1 has to close its 2 units under the accession agreement, Lithuania. 1 founding member state, Italy, has actually abandoned a substantial nuclear program after the Chernobyl disaster. And since 1989, there are more units in the current EU member states that are shut down than that are started up. While the European Union radically changed, while the industry has been in constant decline for over 15 years, the Euratom Treaty remained intact, separate from other EU legislation. Euratom decisions are not subject to co-decision with the European Parliament. Euratom has its own research and development programs and large separate loan system. At the same time, other energy sources have developed to maturity under very big, difficult conditions. Considering this situation, considering also the context, President Barroso's speech 2 days ago concerning the future of the European Constitution, considering the German elections, considering the reluctance of European citizens toward nuclear energy, I think it's time to face new questions. Considering this reluctance, I have to say this reluctance is very high, even in France. I want to give you some results of a new opinion poll concerning the sensibility of the citizens about nuclear waste. As you certainly know, we have a big national debate concerning the nuclear waste future. And 89% of the people say they would not accept a nuclear waste underground storage in their neighborhood. It's normal. I'm not surprised of it, but the new result is that 53% of the people, the French people, exposed to a so big influence of publicity and the nuclear lobby for years, 53% of the people say that they would like France to go out, to phase out nuclear. So I have questions for both of you, and I have questions for Nina and for Andreas. So, isn't it high time to review the Euratom Treaty, abolish the special standard, the particular funding conditions, and finally create a level playing field for all energy sources, and in particular for energy efficiency and renewable energies. Isn't it urgent to get legally binding decisions over nuclear safety, security, control, waste management, decommissioning, effectively under co-decision procedures with the European Parliament? Isn't it indispensable to finally adapt transparency and democracy in a sector that has too often escaped public scrutiny and control? There are questions for both of you. Then I have questions for Nina Kombo-Yanoussis. In 2002 in Brussels, you said, and these are your words, you said that the wording of the first article of the Euratom Treaty might be somewhat obsolete, being so proactive in promoting such energy source. The Commission has acted in the past as the executor of the provisions of the Euratom Treaty. Is the Commission now ready to start a review process of the provisions of the treaty that are obviously in conflict with its own policy objectives? Doesn't the Euratom Treaty hinder the realization of Commission of PBALC's 6 priorities as presented in April 2005? Energy efficiency as top priority. Internal market in gas and electricity. Renewable energy. Nuclear safety and security. European Union external energy policy relations, better linkage of energy, environment and research policy. And now a question for Andreas Molin, but I'm rather disappointed that Rebecca already asked of them. Of course, we have understood that you are not convinced that the best strategy is to say the things directly. You explained that you are not convinced that the Austrian presidency was the best moment to push forward your own priorities. I hope you won't be angry if I say that I don't agree at all with you. Of course, you have to pay the price of a decision, and you won't have everything you want. But it's not always the best place to push your priorities, but it's sometimes possible, with or without the Commission. And I'll give you only one example. During the French presidency, in the second semester of the year 2000, we decided, because we had a sufficient minority of votes, the European moratorium on GMOs, and it has lasted 4 long years. And yes, we depend on the Commission, partly, but not totally, and I think we should use all the possibilities to have the dialogue with the member states who won't phase out, or worse, who decided to go on, Finland or France, for example. We should use also all the occasions to discuss with the Commission of their role and of the evolution of their role concerning the new international context, the price of gas, the greenhouse effect, and the main priorities of European citizens. I would suggest 2 ideas. First, related to the 20th anniversary of Chernobyl, the question of the tourism of waste between European Union and Russia. Secondly, the big concern of the radioactive pollution of the sea related to Sellafield and The Hague. Thank you. Some of you understood my English. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, there were a lot of questions. I'm not sure I remember all of them, so if I forgot some, please remind me. Before answering to the question, may I make just a comment? It's very often that I hear some reflection on putting the Commission on one side and the Member State, the Council of the European Parliament in the other side. Being really confident in European construction, I consider, and as a servant of the Commission, that we are working for the Member States, we are working for the interests of the European Union, and we are working for the citizens. Otherwise, our work will not have sense. So if really the presidency or the future presidency think that we are working against the presidency, I think there is something, a misunderstanding. And personally, I will be very sorry for that. I think that the Commission is a quite open institution, and we are not proposing, because we have the monopoly of the proposals in to the Council, we are, I think, very open, and we are not proposing something just because we have some ideological ideas, but really because we believe that is the interest of the citizens of European Union as a whole, and of the economic development of European Union, and of all the Member States. Of course, the interest of everybody is sometimes against the interest of one or two. But nevertheless, I think our work is a more positive work than to be confronted or against any other institutions. Yes, I said, and I continue to say, that the preamble of the European Treaty is obsolete. As could be our voluntary policy to sustain renewables energy in Europe. It could be in 50 years old. Now, the most active policy we have is on sustaining renewable energy. But in the 15s, we see the history of development of the nuclear energy. The preamble was reflecting the thoughts of the six member states at that time. In the same time, I don't believe that the preamble is the most important part of the treaty. And if we are looking at all the chapters of the treaty, we are seeing that during these 50 years, some chapters are not using at all. For instance, internal market for uranium is a completely dead chapter. But some other chapter have more importance today that they had in the beginning. Now, of course, so my opinion, but I will not say about from the Commission point of view, I prefer to speak of about my point of view, because I don't know exactly what will be the opinion of the College. But from my point of view, the Euratom Treaty has some very good aspects, and I think it's important to notice, and that was the theme of my presentation, it's important to note that these positive aspects were developed. There is a legislation, and this legislation was translated in the Member States, and all the Member States agree with that. And if you are looking to the situation of of the opinion of the Member States in confront of the nuclear package, which I said was, and Andreas explained, on nuclear safety and decommissioning and waste management. What was amazing is that anti-nuclear countries were in favor of this package, and they were happy that Euratom Treaty allow this kind of proposals. And so that was the case of Austria or Luxembourg. Denmark were against, you probably know. So I think it's not so easy to say where, because we are against nuclear, we don't want European treaty. I believe that you can be against nuclear and love the existence of nuclear, of Euratom. Of course, I know that some people are saying that because Euratom exists and because it's controlling nuclear activities and nuclear industry, so it allows development of nuclear. Okay, I can understand this kind of position. But I think it's not so simple, it's not black and white. And you can find some good aspect on having this treaty and some good aspect on not having. But for my opinion, it's difficult to say because there are some parts are obsolete, we have to forget the treaty. In our DG, we make the exercise thinking about a completely new structure for a new constitution. I'm sure you know this project, which is the Penelope project. And when we have done this exercise, the idea was, do we need really Euratom treaty? And if someone of you have seen this project, there are no Euratom treaty in the Penelope, but we take some parts because we consider that even if you have to forget this atomic community of atomic energy, you should have some legislation on nuclear activity because if you want or not, there exists. So policy objectives, I'm not sure I remember very well what was the question on policy objectives, but I will say as head of unit, so now I'm speaking about from the point of view of the Commission, but as head of unit of energy policy and security of the energy supply, for me the most important concept is diversification of energy supplies all over the world and diversification of energy in the European Union. So all the energy should be an open option and to member states to decide what they want. Better link between energy and environment. Well, in the sixth priority of our Commissioner Pelbax, the idea was very broad, that saying because of the Kyoto Protocol, because of some preoccupation and so on, energy and environment are very much linked and more linked in the future. As a policymaker, I will say that environment is really part of the energy policy. It's not two policies that sometimes should find some common objectives. I will say that, of course, environment is an objective. But as you know, in regard of nuclear, the environment opinion could change. For some, the most important is radioactivity and waste. For some other, it is CO2 emissions. You can choose what you want. I think more or less I answered to your questions.
Thank you. Would you go on?
I tried. Well, the first thing, as a good civil servant, I have to say, well, everything what I say now is my personal opinion, not that of my government. I think it's important for the debate to clearly distinguish the position on nuclear power as such and the position on the Euratom Treaty. If we intertwine that, we will end up nowhere. I mean, from my perspective, from the Euratom perspective, it's clear that we are anti-nuclear. We don't like nuclear power, and we think we have very good arguments against it, but of course other people quote arguments in favor. That has nothing to do with questioning a treaty in the form as it stands now almost unchanged for some 50 years. I have not said that I do see a confrontation of the presidency or the incoming presidency with the Commission. That's not there. I mean, we have a very delicate balance of power between the Parliament, the Commission and the Council. Of course, each of these institutions has an own agenda in institutional terms. It would be just ignoring reality if we say, we are all working just for the sake of the good. That's simply not true. I mean, there are institutional power games. Of course they are. But we, in terms of the Austrian presidency or in terms of Austrian, the Commission, we have areas where we have similar interests or joint interests, see the nuclear package, and we have areas where we do not agree, in particular on the research program. But there's no natural antagonism or fundamental dispute or something like that. And I agree with you that as a presidency, you are not only bound to what the Commission offers you to do. You have some room of maneuver in terms of political initiatives. And as I said, maybe I have been too defensive in my first intervention. If we see an opportunity to do something, we will use it. And believe we'll be sitting together several times in my team and with others, and try to consider options if there is any reasonable we can do to put things forward. That has not come to a final result, so I cannot announce now what we are going to do. But we try to consider also the changes on the European scene and look if we can do something. You asked you raised two particular issues. The one is the 20th anniversary of Chernobyl. And in particular, the question of the transport of waste. If I understand it correctly, but this is not exactly my dossier, so I might be mistaken, the very question of the rules under which conditions nuclear waste can be shipped outside of the Union is on the heart of discussions on the shipment directive, which is currently still on the table of the Council. Might be that the UK presidency will finish a dossier. We will see, but it might also end up with us. And believe me, we are well aware of this question. With regard to the 20th anniversary of Chernobyl, it's, honestly speaking, it's difficult to do something reasonable. If you look at the calendar of events, there are so many conferences, symposia of all kinds of orientation, that it does not really make sense for the president to add just another one. This would be simply a waste of money. So I'm a little bit reluctant to say we're really considering an presidency initiative in terms of the Chernobyl anniversary. But we will see. Maybe we find something which is reasonable and has an added value. It's no sense to have the same experts on another occasion to come with the same statements and the same disputes, which they do for months. I mean, if you look at the calendar, they started just in Vienna, which in an Austrian point of view was a rather strange event, but be it as it be, and it will go on all over next year almost. So this is full, I would say. I'll pick up your idea regarding the discharge of hard waste to the seas. I mean, here we, on the one hand, we lack experience because we are not the country having a coast. On the other hand, maybe this is an opportunity to act as a middleman because we have no vested interests on the Austrian side. So I promise you to look into that. It's a new idea for me. As I said, we have no direct confrontation or dispute with the Commission, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult to work with the Commission. I have to admit that. I mean, there is an excuse for that because we're all waiting in the scene for the new Director General of DG TREN. And as far as I know, he's not yet there, so we don't really know where you will be heading for. And I mean, and Director General has a certain impact. Mr. Lamoureux was really a strong person. He had a certain agenda. So we're still waiting for that, I have to say. On the other hand, yes, we were maybe for some surprisingly enough in favor of the nuclear package. But to put things right, we were in favor of the Commission taking the initiative and raising the issue and starting a discussion. We were not so much pleased by the provisions in your proposal. I have to say that clearly. And honestly speaking, at least from our point of view, when we went through the first tax we got, we were a little bit lost. And the subsequent debate in council level showed that the proposal was not, I hope I'm not too unpolite, it was not really well prepared. I mean, to pick two examples, the one is with the money for decommissioning. That it's a real urgent issue. And from the Austrian point of view, it's absolutely clear that you are convinced that the money for decommissioning should come from the power generation, not from taxpayers' money, which in the end would increase the price of nuclear electricity, but that's market. It has to be ensured that the money is there when it is needed, because it will be needed in a few decades. And nobody knows of any of the power companies operating today nuclear power plant or owning today nuclear power plant will be still there. So you need something which is to a certain extent outside of the grip of the power companies to save the money for the future. And in our view, also important, it must not be misused to distort the electricity market right now, because that is exactly what happened in recent years. Those power companies, having already assets for this decommissioning, used the money to buy everything they could get on the market in terms of smaller companies. This is not exactly what we like very much. And that, to a certain extent, that was part of the Commission's proposal, and we welcome that. But it was immediately turned down by the legal experts, who said, you cannot base it on the Euratom Treaty, because the Euratom Treaty has no provisions on competition, and that's correct. So it was kicked out within a few hours of discussion. That's what I mean with it seems to be not well prepared, because, I mean, the Commission legal experts are really good, and your legal service know their job, and they could have said that in a minute, that this is a shaky thing. And there might be opposition to it. And the other thing where I think this initiative was not really well prepared, the original proposal would have set up some kind of missions headed by the Commission going to member states and to monitor what? Was never clear in the debate what would they do. It was fairly clear that the Commission could not act as the super regulator. None of the member states would have accepted that simply. To say to a chief regulator, now you have a super regulator above you, no government will accept that. And I mean, we have an example which works to a certain extent in that way, that is Germany. And if you look in a little bit more in detail into the German situation, the dispute between the federal ministry and the authorities in the provinces on nuclear safety issues, I mean, this is a never-ending story. And it's not exactly a model for a European system. On the other hand, it wasn't clear what should they do. Should they just monitor the implementation of the directive as such, they monitor the work of the regulator, and that, until the end, until, well, basically this whole package was put into the shelf of the Frigidaire, and it will rest for the next 2 years, I suppose. That never became really evident, at least for us, evident. And I think we did a lot of work to understand the proposal. So this is what I mean, where I sometimes would welcome the Commission to be even more active or better prepared. Now, with regard to the Euratom reform, because something has not been touched in the discussion, this is really my personal opinion. Apart from all the debate of democracy, which is, I think is clear, that we need the participation of the European Parliament, which is not maybe the type of democracy that European citizens would like to have, but it would be a major step forward that the European Parliament is in the decision-making process, as is the rest of the policy areas of the Union. But just to see one tiny element in the treaty, which in our view is outdated and costs a lot of money, that is the European Supply Agency. Still, I mean, at the time when this, again, the historical reasons are clear, at the time when this treaty was written, people thought that uranium is going to be a scarce resource in the very near future, because its power will explode, and in terms of market share, not as a power plant, and we will need uranium, and to avoid conflict, we need a management of these resources. Therefore, ownership rests with the European Atomic Community, and there is an institution, Hall Office, with a lot of administration, should care for appropriate equal distribution. That is still there. That's a lot of civil servants, costing a lot of money, in my view, for nothing. I mean, we would need these people desperately retrained in the safeguards office, and maybe then in the area of nuclear safety, but not to regulate the uranium market. I mean, there are other scarce commodities which are not regulated by a separate office, and it works very well. And in particular, in a world where we're heading for open and transparent markets, this is a dinosaur. I mean, this is just a tiny example, because you could argue, well, it's not the biggest chunk of the budget, etc., etc., but it's a good example for some simply outdated provisions of this treaty. So I think I've talked enough. If I missed the question, please repeat it.
You have the floor if you want to answer. And then it will be to you.
Okay. I will begin with the Euratom Supply Agency. I don't know what is a dinosaur, but I never heard that 10% is a dinosaur. In Euratom Supply Agency, you are right that there are some aspect or their activity which are mentioned in Euratom Treaty, which are not so important as a present activity of the agency, but there are not a lot of persons. Not more than 10. One director, one head of unit, and some civil servant. The other thing, I don't agree that it's not a useful institution or organ of Euratom. Not because some aspects of their activity provided in Euratom are not have no utility now, but because they have the role to know exactly what is the market. And as we said, European Union is importing more or less 80% or 90% of our uranium needs as natural uranium or rich uranium. So they know the market, and when there are some problems, they are here to control and to say if something is wrong or not.
and they are negotiating with third countries. It's an important aspect. They defend European Union industry as well, enrichment industry. Of course, if you are against nuclear, you will say that why to advocate for the European industry? But nevertheless, it's a part of our industry, and European industry is one of the most developed, and it favors some imports, technological imports, and I believe that if European industry is not developed somewhere else in the world, there'll be some kind of developments. And I believe that our industry is more sure than other industry in the world. So Euratom Supply Agency, I think that in the present configuration of the system is a useful institution, and it's not a dinosaur at all. Well, I don't know if it's very useful to come back to the nuclear package, well prepared or not. You can have this opinion. The idea of the nuclear package was, of course, to have more, community legislation on safety and on our opinion, but it was not the opinion of the Commission. It was an opinion prepared with other actors, that we have to act on two aspects of the nuclear safety, which is decommissioning and the control of nuclear safety. I don't believe that in the proposed directive it was not clear what we want for nuclear safety. It was very clear, but of course the opinion was different. Yes, I agree with you that it was not possible, and it's not possible even today after a long debate, and perhaps it's not useful to have a super regulatory nuclear energy authority. But a group of controlling team of all the European authorities, it would be a good thing. And in fact, it was a transposition of what have been made for the new candidate countries. During the negotiations, what have been done, a team of regulators made their opinion on the new member states' power plant, nuclear power plant. So, and we thought that it is a good thing to transpose. If the 15th member state could make this control of nuclear safety in the candidate countries, why we cannot transpose its methods for the all 25 member states? In what sense it is even fair to do that? Okay, and decommissioning fund, of course, there is an aspect of internal market, and I agree with that, but we believe that the most important thing, even if I know the European Parliament was arguing that it should be a proposal under EC treaty, but we consider that what is more important, the functioning of the market of or nuclear safety, and that we consider that it's nuclear safety. So that's why we propose the decommissioning fund under Euratom Treaty.
Thank you. I have already one question. We won't have a lot of time, and we go on working this afternoon. So please let know if you want to speak now. Then it will be up to you.
Yeah, it's just a question of clarification. Is on, you mentioned the Penelope paper, which, or Project Penelope, which, if people don't know, was headed by François Lamoureux, who is Director General of DG TREN. And this effectively called, or suggested, the abolishment of Euratom and replacing with the Civil Nuclear Act, retaining the various parts that we've talked about, the safeguards, etc. Why didn't the Commission support this?
It's a complicated question.
But it's,
well,
but
could you answer everybody then, Madame?
Thank you. It's actually a request to Andreas Molin that if you do consider effluents to the sea, don't forget the Baltic. I am asking this on behalf of all of us here in the North. Thank you.
Other questions? Please.
Excuse me, where was the question?
It's just in relation to the Sinclair strategy. Obviously, Ireland has a particular interest. We have coastline and a near neighbour who we would judge to be a dirty neighbour. But I know you made a virtue out of France's support for the Sinclair strategy. And that is, it's time bound to be developed by 2020, or to be implemented by 2020. But the reality of the situation, certainly in Ireland's view, is that France is still proven very difficult in the negotiations on the methodology, etc. And I'm just wondering for your views on that, given the political situation in France.
I know that situation. I regret it, but I'm no more a minister and we have not majority of votes in the parliament. So I do hope to leave something better in 2007. And I need the confidence of the voters for it. Thank you. Want to answer, please?
Okay, very quickly on Penelope. For me, this example was just to say that in the Commission we have done this exercise and that in fact we come to the conclusion that some aspects of the Euratom Treaty are very useful. As you know, if you have read it, we took really some text of Euratom without changing a word. That's all. I cannot answer to the other question why it was not supported by the Commission. I think it was supported in one sense, but it's a history now.
Well, I just can assure you, if we decide to pick up the issue, which I cannot tell at the moment, where I have to look into that, then we will not limit it to a certain part of the seas around Europe. But if we do it, we have to do it on a more general basis, of course. I have to reserve looking into that in more detail, because this is a complicated issue, and again, if you do something, it has to have an added value and it has to help the situation, not just that we get a nice press or something like that as the presidency.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not an organizer, so I hope you will come back to explain what we are going to do now, Mr. Lutz.
He is the organizer.
I don't know. And when we come back this afternoon,